the holographic universe of your mind and soul, emanating from the quantum potential. From the moment we are born, we are conditioned to think and believe that the external physical world in which we live and move is reality. Reality, according to this conditioning, is that everything around us exists in its physical form. Whereas science has demonstrated, as an irrefutable fact, that reality is formed by our senses and is the translation of the input from our senses in our brain. The fact is, what we perceive to be reality, portrayed by our eyes, is nothing more than a light wave frequency that reflects from any object, passes through the retina, and travels from the eye to the brain. Our sense of scent and hearing work the same way. A scent passes through the nose via nasal receptors and to the brain as an electrical frequency, just as a sound travels through the ear to the brain as an electrical frequency. Frequencies of all kinds, some of which originate from objects or beings that are not yet known to us, reach the brain the same way. The brain converts all these waves within itself and portrays the images that we see. These facts lead to the conclusion that everything we see, smell, and hear, without exception, is nothing else than what is called a multidimensional holographic world. Do these images that we perceive exist outside our created multidimensional holographic world? They probably do, because the frequencies emanating from these objects create these perceptions. However, none of the objects that exist on the outside exist in their original form, shaped by our mind. The question rises, in which form these objects do exist in the mind? In our mind, we have a collection of pictures that are formed by electrical frequencies from every one of you and from each and every object we perceive with our senses. What happens when we record a video? The camera records the sounds and images, but the camera doesn't record my inner thoughts and feelings and what's happening inside my body. It only records pictures of the outer shelf, which are created by electrical frequencies. So in the holographic world in my mind, you all exist as a sort of video album of individual frames created by electrical frequencies. When I say I am thinking of you, I remember you, this means that I recall the video album of you in my mind. I watch the recorded video albums, called memory, by recalling them from the archive cache memory in my mind. So, when saying I mean an entity which lives in a multidimensional holographic life in my mind. This is the same with each and every one of us. Anyone who exists as a mind, lives and experiences according to this system I just described. Therefore, my mother is a video album, as is my father, as are my siblings, my children, my family, and my friends. Everything exists as a video album in the cache memory of my mind. A video album that consists of pictures or snapshots which are the product of electrical frequencies that reach my brain. This is what my world is composed of. Each time I get angry with someone, my anger is directed to the video album in my mind of that person. It all transpires within my mind, and my anger does not touch or reach that person. My struggle, my happiness, my anger, and my sadness are all with a specific video album. At times, the video albums in my library are the source of my suffering. And I torture myself with my anger, desires, or sadness. At other times, they are the source of joy and pleasure and give me happiness. Well then, how is it possible that a visual image can exist in my brain? The answer is simple. Do you have dreams? Yes, you do. Where does a dream take place? Is it something that happens somewhere outside where you can watch it? The answer is no. Perhaps it would be better if you did not call it a dream, but a multidimensional holographic world. In the same token, the things that you live and experience when you are awake can be referred to as daydreams. In reality, you do not live in the external world, but you live in a world that is created by yourself. Just like you enter a different world from your partner sleeping next to you when you go to sleep, your waking hours are also spent within your internal dream world, separate from the world of others. The fact that you communicate and interact with your partner does not mean that you share your partner's world. Your partner lives his or her life, and you live yours. There is only some interaction between your worlds. You feel as if you live in a materialized world. This is not the case. You live within your brain. You live in the holographic world in your brain. In fact, there is more to it than just this. There is a dark side as well. We now know that the brain is a network composed of hundreds of billions of neurons. The brain is dark. It harbors no light. Even though there is no light in our brain, the brain is able to use its ability to convert frequencies to create the illusion that we call sight. Allah has bestowed the brain with such an extraordinary ability that it is able to create the illusion of light and images where neither exists. We call our physical cognitive center a brain and see it as part of our body. That is what we have been taught. But as I mentioned before, we know that the brain is a network composed of hundreds of billions of neurons. During the past 5 years, it has been determined that each neuron within our brain works with its own distinctive frequency. Let's revert back to discussing the eye and sight. The frequencies of waves that are transmitted from the eye to the brain range between 4,000 and 7,000 angstrom. In the same manner that light emits a frequency that we can detect, sound also emits a frequency range. The human ear can detect vibrations which pass through our eardrums ranging from 16 to 16,000 hertz. Other frequencies that exist are radar frequencies, AM frequencies, FM frequencies, etc. How do these frequencies exist? Let's say you were to draw a line with a razor, and we call that line the range of frequencies visible to the human eye. Above and below this range of frequencies are an infinite range of frequencies that our eyes cannot perceive. The frequencies we can perceive comprise no more than a razor-thin line of a mere 3,000 angstrom. Somewhere in between these two ranges of frequencies are frequencies that we perceive in the form of scents or as tastes. In fact, the universe is an infinite range of frequencies. The universe, our world, other worlds, in fact, existence in itself, are nothing but an ocean of frequencies. In this ocean of waves, entities perceive each other by detecting and converting each other's frequencies. The true essence of all beings, our world, the sun, our galaxy, and the universe itself is nothing but a network of frequencies. Each living entity emits a certain range of frequencies, and each entity perceives these and frequencies and form their holographic universe with what they perceive. So, there are an infinite number of configurations within an endless amount of dimensions in the universe. Therefore, the amount of living entities within a universe consisting of infinite configurations and dimensions are infinite, and as all entities exist within the frequencies they can perceive, they are oblivious to the infinite amount of other entities in other ranges of frequencies. In fact, there are no different dimensions. Originally, there is only one configuration and one dimension. This dimension can be described as an ocean of frequencies. This ocean of frequencies is broken down into an infinite number of frequency ranges, combinations, and configurations. This is what we mean when we say I. How does the self that we refer to come into existence? First of all, I'd like to talk about the common usage of self and how it is created. I call it false self, or the formed I. The creation of the false self starts with the genetic data that results from the coupling of the sperm and egg. It is then further shaped by the influence of astrological effects on the specific development of the brain. And, later still, through the needs and desires of the body that are met by the brain. This combination of influences leads to the creation of a false self that assumes that the self is nothing more than the body that contains the brain. This self is primarily formed by the second brain. We have a second brain in our body. The latest research shows that there are many millions of neurons, also known as brain cells, in our gut. These neurons are the source of our bodily needs and sensations. These needs and sensations are created by sending certain enzymes and hormones to the brain. All sensations, like hunger, fatigue, thirst, lust, and other bodily needs, are generated by the gut brain, which is also known as the second brain. More information on this subject can be found in Michael Garson's book, The Second Brain. The second brain, therefore, controls the primary brain. From the instant of birth, this second brain has control over the primary brain, better referred to as the true self. As this control starts from the instant of birth, you are completely oblivious of the fact that you are a slave of the second brain and think that you are the one who decides what to do. In reality, however, your gut brain is pushing and even commanding you what to do. The second brain has you fulfill its wishes and desires based on the preconditioning and biases that have formed in the primary brain. In Sufi, this is referred to as the commanding formed self. By convincing you that you exist in a physical world, the commanding formed self directs you to pursue material desires. It makes fulfilling your materialistic needs and pleasures the purpose of your life. It highlights your animal traits. Islamic philosophers described a person ruled by his second brain as an animal that thinks, or the most sophisticated animal. The term sophisticated animal refers to the human body. As the human body has needs that are commonly shared by all animals. The desires of the gut brain are formed and fed by the way your environment has filled you with biases and preconditioning. The gut brain thus commands you to sit, walk, act, and consume according to your preconditioning. Once the gut brain commands an action, our primary brain will activate itself to fulfill the desired action. This system functions automatically. Typically, we will take ownership of this automatic reaction by actually saying, I want it to be so. In fact, this is also automated within the brain. If one day you say, I eat, drink, have sex, sleep, but all of these are animal traits, what about what makes me human? And if you ask questions like, who am I? Am I an animal which eats, drinks, reproduces, and sleeps, and eventually vanishes after death? This self-questioning, even though you remain under the control of the second brain, will eventually open new dimensions within your mind. To find the answers to these questions, you have two paths that you can follow. Either you believe and follow the teachings of those in the know, as it is impossible to obtain a manual to decipher the system that we exist in. Or, if you were born in the beginning of the 21st century, you'd start to think and question based on the scientific facts and realities. For now, let's leave aside the aspect of faith and move forward based on scientific facts. The first scientific premise is that all we see and witness is nothing other than a holographic world within our minds. All the world is a stage. All we live and see is like a stage, and this stage is set in our minds. We exist in individual cocoons, unrelated to one another. Although we receive frequencies from each other, the frequencies we receive determine the extent to which we are aware of each other. As I previously explained, though I receive frequency waves from you, I can never know your inner world, nor can you ever know mine. The only reflection that comes to me from you is me. When I am told of someone, all that I can perceive is a projection. That's all. I do not know that person. I can never truly know that person. We exist in a world of pictures, and we live submerged with infinite albums made up of pictures. In the meantime, we live ignorant of both this fact and the fact that our lives are being directed by our second brain. An interesting fact is that there are three core structures in the brain. In fact, there are multiple structures, but they bear less relevance than the core three, so I will focus on these. The main structure in the formation of the human with animalistic traits is the cerebellum. There is little difference between us learning a trait through practice and repetition from A lab rat. Navigating its way through a maze using memory and its sense of smell. The cerebellum is situated in the back of the human brain and naturally covers a greater surface when compared with other animals. The second important structure is called the amygdala and is a tiny gland within the brain. The amygdala is the source of fear and emotion. The role of the amygdala has been well researched and documented in several research projects. This knowledge has become so mainstream that you often find documentaries on this very matter on channels like the History Channel. Though these subjects are less frequently discussed in Europe and the Middle East, the role and function of the amygdala is well documented in the U.S. The amygdala is the source of fear and emotion, the source of the chemicals that influence the amygdala is the second brain. Influences coming from the second brain create fears in the amygdala. Many of the primal survival instincts of human beings, the most important being self-preservation, are based on fear. Humans need to continue to avoid what they fear to protect themselves and continue living. It is fear that stops us from jumping into fire. The fear of being burnt emanates from the amygdala. Researchers in the U.S. have demonstrated that the amygdala can dramatically vary in size from one person to the other. Certain people have been found to have an amygdala that is 59% smaller than normal, others an amygdala that is as much as 75% smaller than normal. It appears that serial killers have an amygdala that is 75% smaller than normal. When the serial killer is asked whether he regrets his actions, his reaction is that his actions were, in his opinion, normal. And he demonstrates no regret. The amygdala controls our fears, our animal instincts, and our emotions. In other words, it controls emotions that are linked to our view of our body. The third and most important and most researched structure of the brain is the prefrontal cortex. This frontal lobe is responsible for higher levels of reasoning, questioning, and cognitive functions. This part of the brain develops fastest between the ages of 7 and 21. That is why information acquired during youth will have greater depth and is not easily forgotten. The process of learning becomes more difficult with age. The prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that leads us to question things. However, if the effects of the second brain are not controlled, curbed, and weakened, the cognitive abilities in the primary brain can't function to capacity. Although your frontal lobe may momentarily propel your cognitive abilities, eventually your bodily emotions and animal instincts will occupy you with requirements of the body and take you off the trail into that direction. What does this second brain represent? You have been provided with factual data. The factual data is telling you that you are not an animal structure that is governed by the second brain. You are beyond this animal structure. But then what or who are you? Each neuron in the human brain has a unique frequency. And there are hundreds of billions of neurons, which means that there are hundreds of billions of frequencies. Of these frequencies, we only use a couple for perceiving with our senses. But the frequencies of your brain are far more. As the universe is made up of frequencies and is an ocean of waves, we can conclude that your mind mirrors the universe. In other words, your brain is a micro-universe, and the universe is a macro-mind. Although you possess such a vast potential, you are busy fulfilling your bodily wishes and desires. You are unaware of the potential within you because you are under control of your second brain. In order to fulfill your desires and wishes, you are capable of stealing, lying, and slander, all for the sake of your bodily and animal desires. Whereas, you possess an infinite potential within you, for which they have granted you the title of the Caliph. You are the Caliph of your infinite potential. And this information is meant to guide you. That means the Messiah, the Guided One, has revealed himself in your holographic world, and that this knowledge has revealed reality to you. In the same way that you have the Messiah, the Guided One, you also have the failed Messiah, the Dajjal, who invites you to his heaven as well. On one hand, there is Mahdi, the Guided One, in your consciousness, and on the other, Dajjal, inviting you to the pleasures of the flesh. The pleasure of eating, drinking, ambition, and sex, which are meant to confine you to the limits of the animal. That's why it is said, when confronted with Dajjal, don't accept his heaven, because it will become your hell. Conversely, those who choose Dajjal's hell will attain heaven. What would be categorized as Dajjal's hell? It would be the limiting of your bodily wishes and desires, and the manifestation of the essential strength within you. How could a heavenly existence be described? Those whose existence is a state of heaven have each and every wish fulfilled instantly. Such power can only exist through the unfolding of Allah's characteristics through you. As stated in the Quran, once we ask for something to be, it will be. So what does this actually mean, if all those that enter into a state of heaven can fulfill each and every wish? It means that you will live by the manifestation of that holy, supreme power within your essence. So in order to live this truth, you choose Dajjal's hell, which leads you to Allah's heaven. Or you choose Dajjal's heaven and live its consequences, which is being incapable of manifesting the power within you and living a life filled with the pleasures of animals. But living the supreme power within your essence is not easy to accomplish. Humans cannot kill their Dajjal. By humans, I refer to the thinking animal that is described as human. There is only one way of killing Dajjal. Jesus come to earth, upon his arrival, Dajjal will dissolve, like salt in water. When Jesus descends on earth, he will break the crucifix. What is the crucifix? Well, here it is. Isn't it like this? Isn't it shown everywhere as this? The true meaning of the crucifix is this body. The real crucifix is this body. And the crucifix is the symbol of Dajjal. The power of Jesus lies in the names of life, Hai, the ever-living one and power, Qadir, the all-powerful. When the quality of life and power are manifested in your essence and life, you realize that you are immortal, and when you realize your mortal self, which is, your body loses its meaning like salt melting in water. Thus, you will be set free from being a slave of this. You eat, drink, copulate as needed, no more. We must do all we can to assure that this body stay healthy, in order to achieve your ultimate goal. So, the whole point is to understand what the self is. You must comprehend that this reflection called the self, defined in the Quran as the part reflecting the whole, is in fact your brain, a network of frequencies. Today, all of this has been explained scientifically. In the past, this reality was explained with metaphors. So if you believe in the power vested within you, the true self in your reality is that power, The potential within me is the true I. The formed or false self has veiled this true self. Those who purify and purge their false selves will attain salvation. The ones who purify the true brain will be free. And if not, driven by your body's needs and desires, you will eat, drink, love, be loved, reproduce, and after a while, you will pass away and become dust. You will then live forever with those recorded videos in your holographic mind, suffering in the knowledge that you were unable to discover the true powers within you and become aware of their existence. This is the great suffering defined as hell. They tell you there are billions of ounces of gold behind the door, but you don't believe them. In the meantime, you make do with the breadcrumbs thrown at your feet. During the final moments of your life, you look behind the door and see the gold. That is what it feels like. So it is important that one truly grasps this system. This system was deciphered hundreds, in fact, thousands of years ago. The knowledge of which we speak today was first shown to us by the manifestation of highly developed brain qualities of the Ra'zul and his spiritual followers. With no science to demonstrate their knowledge, they relayed the message of the reality of the system with metaphors and examples. In those days, all one could do was to believe the messages explained through examples and carry out what they were told. That is to say, you believe in the Ra'zul or a teacher whom you think is the carrier of absolute truth. And that person guides you by telling you what reality is. Eat this. Don't adore your animal structure. Restrain your ego. Your false self should not control you. You practice his doctrines without understanding the mechanism, and you live the results of your actions. In fact, the only thing that counts in the end is the attaining.